Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, y'all. We back. This is your boy, Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
Ryan Joe is right here with you.
Yes, yes, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. We'll pop the rock.
Yes, indeed. And we are collective minds. We collective minds. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think. What's
gotta
up, family? We are back after a powerful show last week. I hope everybody tuned in to that. If not, go check the archives. It was very interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? Make sure your ears are turned on. You dig? So this week, y'all, it's going to be a light show. We're going to share some news events. This is the, you know, the monthly just open discussion show. So please, y'all, give us a call, Collective Minds Radio. This is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get started, y'all, you know how we do. How was y'all week, and do y'all got any announcements for us?
I had a wonderful, wonderful week. Again, thankful. And I don't have any announcements that I can think of right now. I don't never have any announcements. I'm almost about to start feeling like Russell Simmons.
Yeah,
I ain't never had nothing to say. You know?
You just been chilling.
But no,
you
I don't have any announcements.
Right.
I know you guys are very good with announcements, so I step back. But no, I don't have any announcements.
Right.
I'm good.
So that's what happens when you living that good life, Brother Kev. When you sitting back, you know, living life with bubbles and roses, you know.
That's right.
She like, I ain't got no announcements, you know. I'm just sitting on my cloud.
Just happy to be here. Just happy to be here. Happy
I'm
to be amongst
you.
I'm with you, Jay.
I'm with you, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Well, that's part of my announcement is shout out to Jane Elliott. You know, Jane, you really surprised me last week. And, you know, I think people, y'all should go back and listen to that show. Listen to it closely with good ears and open up your third eye and read between the lines of
it is
Jane
what
Elliott's
it is.
Comments. You know,
yes.
But shout out to her.
With your good eye.
Yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to Brother Nuri Muhammad from the Nation of Islam, who came and visited St. Louis this weekend. And
that's right.
You know, he was here for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. So shout out to him. Appreciate the brother coming, dropping his jewels and his knowledge on us. Saturday, y'all. It was a good week for me as well.
All right. Indeed, family. So, again, this is Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call. This is the open discussion. And before we get into, you know, the current events and topics anybody want to bring up, I got an article that I want to share with y'all from last week, November 14th, this article dropped. Now, I'm going to warn y'all before I get started, this is in the cosmic Kev zone, right? So you got to put on your, you got to get on the elevator.
It is what it is.
And take a step up. But there was an article
thanks for the
that
one.
Came out. Right, that's what I wanted. And there was an article that came out that said that there is a dark matter hurricane blowing at 310 miles per second, is on a collision course with the Earth, and may finally offer proof that the mysterious material exists. Now, when you deal with like occult
science,
there's
material.
Mysterious material, right?
What is the mysterious material that is going to finally prove itself to us? Like, what is this?
Right.
I want to know.
According to them, they really don't know what it is, right? They say it's dark matter, right? So when you look at the universe, only 5% of the universe is visible. So that means with the billions of stars and planets, everything that's out there, that only makes up 5% of the universe. The other 95% is unknown. You see what I'm saying? The other 95, the substance, the dark matter, black holes, dark energy, all these things are unknown, and they don't know what it is. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
exactly. Yeah, I'm aware of that, and I want to learn the numbers.
Right. Now, these are just, again, with any information, you got to take with a grain of salt and do your own research and come to a conclusion based on that. But according to their numbers, they're saying that 95% of the universe is either dark matter, dark energy, or black holes. And they also say that our particular galaxy is spiraling around a black hole, you see. So now in the occult, they say as above, so below. This is an occult principle and a hermetic principle that says as above, so below, as within, so without. So my interpretation from Cosmic Kev studies is this dark matter is part of the consciousness of black people, right? As the vibration and the consciousness of the people rise, these different substances start making moves and start hitting the earth, because everything that's inside of us is on the outside of us. The seven major chakras are actually connected to the seven major planets, right? As far as, you know, everything that goes with that. The astrology, you know, within inside of us is connected to the stars and the planets. So everything is connected in that sense. And before anything manifests in the physical, it takes place in the spiritual, right? So there's a spiritual war that's taking place between these different energies, and the old guard, which is the paradigm that we live in now, which is a world that's largely based on lies, deceit, deception, and that type of thing. The new energy that's coming in, which is based on truth, balance, justice, mayat, that particular spiritual world is trying to make its way, or those particular energies are trying to make its way back into physical reality, back into the world. So these forces are battling. And now they're saying, like I say, the dark matter hurricane is on point, or is on schedule to connect with the earth. So, like I say, from my studies, that just tells me that the consciousness of the planet is rising, and the only thing that holds reality together is consciousness. So, you know, from my, like I say, from my research, the 95% that they don't know what it is basically melanin, it's consciousness, it's the divine mind that holds everything together. You see what I'm saying? But I just wanted to put that out there. This article came out last week. It's called A Dark Matter Hurricane. So if anybody want to Google that and do some research, just take a look. It might have missed a lot of people, but I think I sent that to y'all in the thread when it came out. But that's something on a metaphysical level. Like I say, I pay attention to a lot of things that happen. And you can see that there's a spiritual war going on, and a lot of things are manifesting down here. So the more and more we become more conscious and wake up, you're going to see these other forces put things in a way to kind of get us off the track. But all that to say is this stuff is inevitable. You see what I'm saying? The truth, Mayat, justice, all these things will be established, you know, in some time. And if you want to get a book, because I don't want y'all to think I'm just rambling off the head, there's a book called Dark Light Consciousness by Dr. Edward Bruce Bynum. It's called Dark Light Consciousness. And in that book, he talks
about... What about the article, though? What about the article?
Oh, the article you can get... The article, if you Google Dark Matter Hurricane, it'll come up. There was an article from Science Magazine. There was one by the Daily Mail, which is in their science or technology division, they did an article on it. So there's plenty of different articles. I think The Guardian did something on it.
So
yeah, if you just Google
say,
Dark Matter Hurricane, go ahead.
Okay, so I just have something to say. Okay,
right.
So, well, I want to clear up something, so I have a question. I want to understand that they are predicting something separate from what it sounds like you just described what the darkness is. The darkness is there, you know. But it sounds like they're talking
right.
about something even separate from that because they're calling it something different, and it's something outside of that because you say they claim that it's moving toward us, like on a collision.
Yeah, it's on a
like
collision
it's gonna collide.
Now, what they say is, yeah, it's going to collide with Earth. But what they say is it's not going to really disrupt anything. They're just saying that there's an unknown
a big wave,
substance.
Energy wave or something.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, let me read this. And this is part of the article. And then we can go on and let Mufasa bring us up to date on the current events. But let me just read this. It says, dark matter is a hypothetical substance said to make up roughly 27% of the universe. It is thought to be the gravitational glue that holds together galaxies. And like I say, that glue, from my understanding, is just consciousness of the supreme
right, but
mind.
But you're reading what the darkness is, right? That's what you're describing right now. Currently, that's what you're reading?
The dark matter, right.
Right.
That they say is on a
right.
collision course with the Earth.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
Right. I mean, is it clear? Because we want to make sure we
yeah,
get it
clear. Yeah, it's clear. It's clear. I just wanted to verify that you was, and what you were reading, I just wanted to verify what you were talking about because you.
Okay,
you're
right.
Using
and
a
then,
lot of
okay,
the same terms to describe both.
Right.
So I'm trying to make sure
dark
I understand.
Right. Dark matter, dark energy, black holes. These are, quote unquote, different
black
substances, but they're black holes. Black holes.
Oh,
you heard of black holes?
Yeah.
Black holes.
H-O-L-E-S.
Right. Black holes. Right. So now this is according to the article.
If somebody had just
sorry.
Came in on that, they'd been like, wait a minute.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Right.
It woke me up. I'm like, what?
It says, similarly, we know dark matter exists but have never observed it directly. The material is thought to be the gravitational glue that holds the galaxies together. Calculations show that many galaxies would be torn apart instead of rotating if they weren't held together by a large amount of dark matter. Just 5% of the observable universe consists of known matter, such as atoms and subatomic particles. So, again, now they just say it's, from what they have observed, it's a substance that's dark and it's coming towards Earth at a fast amount of speed, 310 miles per second. So that's pretty much all they got, you know. But what
well,
I'm
that's
saying,
what I'm saying
is,
how can they identify something outside of it if it's the same thing as what they say in the darkness is?
Right.
How did they
because
identify a
how
a
did
chunk
they observe
of
it? Right.
Because
exactly.
it's doing something different, I guess.
Well, no.
But actually,
what's happening is when light hits it, it doesn't escape. So they could, you know, shoot a beam or observe a light from a star, and when it crosses that path, that light gets distorted. You see, so they know something's there blocking it, but they just don't know what it is. Does that make sense?
Okay, they can't see it. Yes,
right.
That makes perfect
right.
sense. I mean, I get it. We
yeah,
can be talking about this all day, so I know we probably want to move on. Because one last thing, though, because really the blackness or the darkness of the things, I mean, we're already in it. So it's like, okay, how are we going to collide? That's why I was just trying to be clear, but... Okay, we can move on. Like I said, I can go on for days with this. So.
Okay, indeed. Yeah, let's move on. I just wanted to put that out there.
Mm.
But
it is what it is.
Further research on that and just check it out. But that's for my occultists and my metaphysicists. I know everybody not there,
Ooh.
But, you know.
That's for them.
Right. I know Mufasa, Brother Mufasa got off a long time ago.
Mufasa, right. He,
he did. He got off
Mufasa
a long time
ago.
Mufasa?
I was over here rolling dice and eating sunflower seeds.
Exactly. Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. So.
Wow.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We're doing an open discussion today. We're talking about current events.
That's
I got a
rude.
Few stories to share with y'all and some questions with the stories. So if, you know, Mufasa, you want to go ahead and share some, you know, some topics you want to discuss with us, and we can go from there. Give us a call, y'all.
It is what it is.
929-477-1697.
All right. Well, right on, Brother Kev. Let me get my feet back on solid ground. And
yep,
ask
that was
y'all a couple of questions.
Kev.
Cosmic Kale. Let me get back with Brother Kale. And just talk to y'all about some local stuff that was taking place throughout the week. I want to ask y'all how y'all felt about that shooting that happened at the Christian store. And I read the quick article on that. The authorities have charged a 53-year-old man in connection to the murder of a woman inside a West St. Louis County Catholic Supply store. Thomas Bruce, 53, was charged with 17 criminal counts, including first-degree murder, 3 counts of sodomy, and 3 counts of kidnapping. Other charges include first-degree burglary, tampering with evidence, and criminal action. According to the police investigation, Bruce pretended to be a customer at the Catholic Supply store Monday afternoon, exited and then re-entered the store displaying a handgun. Police say Bruce ordered the 3 victims to the back of the store where he forced them to disrobe at gunpoint and proceeded to expose himself to the victims. Bruce then demanded the victims to perform a sexual act on him, according to police. According to the investigation, Jamie Smith, 53, of House Springs, refused Bruce's demands and was shot for not complying. Bruce then fled the scene shortly after. Thomas Bruce of Imperial, Missouri, was taken into custody by police at his home early Wednesday morning. As we know, Bruce is a 53-year-old Caucasian man. Not to throw race in this, but I just want to throw that out there for clarity.
We already knew.
But we are, I mean, but just hearing the story, you already know what to conclude.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a crazy event to happen. I'm sure about to say y'all knew about it, but what y'all think about that?
Yeah, because I think nowadays you really learn to appreciate the sentence because they'll kill you. You know, they didn't kill him, of course. We know why. That's a whole other matter, but. It really makes the charges that he got, it really makes you appreciate those charges because it's like either that or death. And we just going to kill you right here on the spot and you ain't going to see these charges. So it's like, great, you know, he got charges.
I be wondering what was going on
in
somebody's mind like that. I mean, like, this lady is in a supply store, the one of the victims. She's trying to shop for things to help the community out, you know, drinkers or whatnot. I mean, if you just go in a a Christian supply store, like a Catholic supply store, I guess, and, you know, victimize these women. I've been wondering, I mean, do people just be straight heartless? They be having mental issues? What going on in somebody's mind like that to do something like
yeah.
that? You know what I'm saying? But my heart goes out to the family, to the victims and their families. You know, I won't hamper on that too long. But that was one of the stories that hit me hard this weekend. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you're right. When people is going through things like that where they can just get up and just do those types of things, just random acts like that with no easy or visible logical explanation behind it, and you're trying to figure out, like, dang, what just happened inside this person? It does, you know, mental illnesses, you know, because it's how they mind is operating at that time to give, because everybody a philosopher. You know, everybody can philosophize something to make their action make sense to them, you know, even if it don't make sense to nobody else. So it's something that goes on in his head to make him be okay with that. And he probably don't even remember, you know, be able to even really remember what's taking place at that time. That's just how deceptive the mind can be, you know. I definitely think, and drugs, you know, it can be drugs. But what breaks people to that point, that type of way of, like, of a broken thinking, sometimes it's life experiences that push us to that, you know. He could have a history from family members or something like that, a father. It can be a lot of different reasons that will cause a person to just break to that point of where their thinking and thought patterns is just so, you know, off, where it was so random. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. You know, and I don't know if y'all heard about this story also. This happened, let me see here. This happened a couple of days ago. Two officers, the police that were involved in a deadly crash that was connected to a chase in Berkeley, they have been fired. I don't know if y'all remember, we talked about that when that happened a few weeks ago. Y'all remember that the guy was, the two cops, they was chasing a suspect? If y'all will, I'm going to refresh y'all memory. I'm going to read you the article real quick.
Yeah, I think I
remember. Two officers who police say were involved in a deadly crash that was connected to a chase in Berkeley have been fired. On August 10th, suspects being chased by officers crashed on Airport Road. Initially, St. Louis County Police said they were not involved in the chase. Michael Neal, 49, and Townsall Woolfold, 59, died in the crash. The family of the two men killed in the crash later gave News 4 video showing a car speed followed by a police cruiser. We just want them to do the right thing, and if someone did something wrong, we just want them to be punished for it, said Darrell Neal, the brother of one of the men involved. At the time, St. Louis County Police said the video confirmed that officers were trying to stop the car. They initially released a statement saying, "We launched an internal investigation on our own in an attempt to find out if our officers followed all policies and procedures. That investigation is active and ongoing." Now, here it goes. I got to use Roger's word here. This is on the article. However, on Friday, St. Louis County Police said the two officers were fired after the internal investigation. Authorities said after examining the Highway Patrol's crash investigation, internal documentation, and video evidence, it was determined that the involved officers provided statements that were ultimately found to be misleading, and actions by those two officers discredited themselves and the image and reputation of this department.
And these are the police officers that said they didn't even see the crash, right?
Yep. Yep.
Mm.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's,
Coachella.
Man, that's interesting.
You know, but people can be so quick to jump on law enforcement side and want to believe everything that the police say that happened. You know, Unfortunately, everybody that's in that uniform ain't right and ain't righteous. You know, and the world needs to get that and understand that, hey, these cats ain't right. That's why we complain so much during the Mike Brown incident and all the other incidents of police brutality and how the police do us here in this town. Well, we're going all throughout America. You know what I mean?
Right. The world, Craig, the world. But just want to acknowledge the callers. We're going to get to y'all in 1 second. Give us a call, y'all. This Collective Minds Radio. This Brother Kev, my brother Mufasa Ra, and Roger Starr.
One more thing I read that was interesting to me. This on another note. I ain't gonna go deep into this one, but that duck boat, you know, it was a duck boat crash here in the Missouri area where they killed a bunch of people. That the owner of the boat settled with the Missouri family over that incident. At first, the owner was trying to say that, you know, he wasn't liable for that. But the company that owns the duck boat that sank in Table Rock Lake near Branson, Missouri in July, killing 17 people, has settled the first of several lawsuits filed in the accident. So that's a good thing. At least some of these families are going to be compensated for the loss of their loved ones.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite. Yeah, it was crazy to me that they was even trying to wiggle out of that.
Right. Yeah, they was clearly negligent, and hopefully that family get, you know, it'd never be enough money, but you know, hopefully they get some type of redress, compensation. You know, but there was some good stories. I ain't heard of them local stories, especially the one with the shooting at the Catholic. I hadn't even heard of that one.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I mentioned it to you the day it was happening.
Did you? That went right past me. I wasn't even aware of that one. But
was that Mufasa? I don't know.
It might have been me.
Yeah, that's right.
Along
with quite a few other shootings that happened in North St. Louis, you know, we need to clear that up. We got to work on our people, and we need to, hey, love each other. Let's stop shooting each other. I'm not even going to read off all them stories. But we need to love each other. Let's get it together, people.
Right, indeed. Now, let me share this one story, then we can go to the call lines. I'm sure y'all might have heard of this. We talked about the security guard in Chicago, Jamel Roberson, who was actually the hero in the situation. And when the police pulled up, they ended up shooting him. This was in like the suburb of Chicago called Malothian. Yeah, they ended up killing him, and he was the hero. He had the suspect apprehended, or one of the suspects apprehended, with his gun on him. A lot of witnesses say he had on his security detail, a hat and, you know, a jacket, and the police just came up firing because they saw a black man with a gun. Now, fast forward to Thanksgiving Day, there was an altercation in an Alabama mall on Thanksgiving Day where a U.S. Army veteran, or he may still be active duty, Emantic Fitzgerald Bradford Jr., he had his gun, he's licensed to carry, had his gun drawn or whatever, and the police ended up shooting him. Mm-hmm. And then they came out later they killed him. And they came out later saying that this was the wrong guy. But let me just read this article real quick. It says, meanwhile, the shooter still remains at large after Emantic E.J. Bradford Jr., 21, was killed by police who believed he was the gunman who injured two people in the shooting at the River Chase Galleria Mall in Birmingham on Thanksgiving night. Saturday, a group of 200 protesters took to the mall to demand answers from Hoover police. On Saturday night, Bradford's father, Emantic E.J. Bradford Sr., told the Associated Press his son was a very good kid and added that it was hurtful police portrayed his son as the shooter. They were so quick, this is his father talking in quotes, they were so quick to rush to judgment. I knew my son didn't do that. People rush to judgment. They shouldn't have done that, Bradford Sr. said. So that's an unfortunate event. Now, when this happens back to back, I'm starting to recognize a pattern, right? So if you're black with a gun, even if you are the hero, you're liable to be shot by the police because they're thinking you're the perpetrator, you know, or the suspect. So that's my question to y'all, because I know my brother Mufasa's license to carry and all that.
Now, their perception of us.
Right, right. So that's my question. Does that make you apprehensive? Say you're in a situation, you could be out in public, and you feel like somebody's shooting, and you got to protect your family, and you may have the suspect in custody, or you may be able to apprehend him or do whatever. You know, how does that make you feel knowing that you licensed to carry, but when the police pull up, they might shoot you, thinking you the bad guy? So, you know, have you thought about how you move in if that situation occurs, or have you thought about a code that you would do in that instance? Or, you know, just what are your thoughts on people who are licensed to carry actually protecting civilians, but then they end up getting shot because the police see a black man with a gun and they think he's the suspect? So I just want to, you know, get y'all thoughts on how y'all would move, you know.
I know I done ran them scenarios down through my head a lot, quite often. I mean, when I went to get the CCW, I never forget the instructor was drilling it in our heads that do not pull your weapon unless you personally, your life is in danger. Meaning that if you're in a situation like that, and you got a crazed gunman that's shooting people, if you don't want to be, you know, possibly held liable or get shot by the police situation like that, if you can get away, basically he was telling us, get away. Don't try to be the hero. So I think about that. I keep that in my mind. But also, like going to what you said about this guy, I run it in my head today. If I have to use my weapon and take down somebody, the first thing I'm going to do is after I shoot and take them and do what I got to do, I'm just going to lay flat down on my stomach and put the gun and kick the gun to the side. And just wait on the police to show up. Because if you still holding the gun and you know you upset and you roaming and all that type of stuff, it's quite possible they're going to shoot you. The best thing to do is if you take a suspect down like that, in my opinion, because everybody got their different scenarios how they want to handle stuff, but I'm just running right down how I put it in my head, a panting in it. If I have to shoot a person, I'm laying down on the ground, stretched out, and I'm putting the gun away from me. And, hey, I still could get shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
we've
seen that happen before.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen that happen before. Dude laid out, stretched out, still got shot. So that still could possibly happen. So you got to run it through your head that is it important enough for you to say, look, I'm going to do something about this situation. If you are not directly in harm's way, you got to think, do I want to try to save some people and throw myself in this? If you do, just be prepared to, you know, handle your business. And like I say, lay down and put the gun down and stretch out and be ready for the police. But if you can get away, that's also your option. It's saying, look, the guy ain't looking at me. I can run away and I can get away from this situation. I can escape. So you have to make that decision in your head.
It is what it is.
Do you escape? Right. Do you flee if you can? Or do you take the person out? But if the person's directly at you, and you shoot them and you take them down, my advice is just go ahead and lay your gun down and lay down on the ground and stretch your arms and legs out. So to give yourself totally up, let them know you ain't trying to do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. Indeed. Yeah, that's a good explanation and good advice. But, yeah, each situation is different. My thing is I like to keep stuff in the context. I just think it's a shame that white heroes are given the benefit of the doubt. And then here you got two black people trying to step up and do the right thing, and they get their lives taken. You dig what I'm saying? So
within the system we live in, which I say is white supremacy, those are the things that we got to keep in mind as we move, you know, and be out and trying to protect ourselves and our families. We got to keep those things in mind. So
let me add this too before you go to the call line, because when you just off what you said there, see, when you're on cold and you always know the type of system that you live in and you know what you're up against, you have to move accordingly like that. So in my mind, that's why I know if I have to use my gun, I'm laying down, stretching out, and doing all the extra stuff of showing the whole world that, hey, look, I'm not trying to harm nobody, because I know the type of world that I live in. I know the place that I'm in. I know how they look at me as being a black man anyway. So it's right. You're right. It is a shame and it's terrible that we have to do all that. But until that changes, which it may never, those are the steps that you have to take, that you should take, so you don't run the risk of losing your life.
Right, indeed. And let's, I guess we can go to call lines, Roger. This Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev, Brother Mufasa Ra, and Roger Starr. Give us a call, 929-477-1697. We have an open discussion. Just call us. Tell us what's on your mind, what you've been thinking about this week, how was the week, and we go from there. Let's get it.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
According to how y'all doing?
According how you doing there, brother?
What's up?
According to The Atlantic, which is a black news publication, it says of the 1,146 and 10,092 victims of police violence in 2015 and 2016, respectively, they found that 52% was white, 26% black, 17% was Hispanic. So, yes, whites do get shot by police in one way or the other. And
right.
Not,
we never said they didn't, for the record.
The thing is that you got some crazy police. You got some people that's in that capacity that shouldn't be in that capacity. You had a police officer got shot. He was off duty there on Goodfellow on the other side of West Florissant up by the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing amongst police because he heard the call coming in over the radio. He left out the house and ran over and was there talking to the other police officer. He had his gun. And another white cop came up, got out of his car, and shot him right there amongst the other white cops. So you got some idiots out here. But here's the thing that I don't hear addressed the way it should be. Like these guys that was in this chase, they coming through black communities disrespecting the community, speeding and running red lights.
Yeah.
Nobody never says anything about that, Curtis. You don't hear nobody complaining about that. You don't hear them on the radio. It's always the police.
Mm-hmm.
And heck, you know, there's a such thing that's called cause and effect.
Yeah.
If you cause something, it's going to be some effects out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you run, and when an emergency vehicle's behind you with its lights on, you're supposed to pull over.
This is true.
Right.
Now, I don't know, Carla, we didn't. This story that we're speaking about right now, I don't think we had talked about it live on air, but I know me and my co-host had discussed it when it first happened. And that was the first thing that we were saying, too, like how the community was so up in a uprage about this stuff. But you're not going to say anything about these people risking just regular civilians' lives? Why are you running? So I agree with you. I get upset about that, too, hearing about all these chases and stuff and these criminals that put regular civilians' lives that day. And you know what else killed me, y'all? Do y'all know that most of the time when people run in front of the police and they hit somebody, why the innocent person always die and the people that was running be living? They still be living.
Yeah.
Ain't that crazy?
And
right,
they run
right,
over kids,
right,
and their bodies. And here's the thing. I'm sorry for the family that two of their members got killed. But we have to start addressing these things. Now let's go to this security guard. I don't know. Now, I have seen on YouTube where this young black man was in this restaurant, And a couple of white guys came in, and one of them started fighting him and smacking him. And the brother pulled his gun up and shot the white guy, and he ran out the store. He told the waitress to call the police. He put his gun on the counter and laid down on the floor. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is a good thing, because you don't know how these idiots are going to react. And the white guy ended up dying, I think. And as far as in Alabama in that mall, they say that everybody pulled their gun out and started running. You know why they had their gun out? Because I guess Alabama is this type of state. My grandson was in another mall when that happened down there.
Right.
But now, then again, this police officer that came on the scene, he had no business shooting this man, not knowing what the hell was going on.
Exactly. Now, Carla, are you licensed to carry yourself?
Absolutely, I am. You better believe it.
So now, how would you handle a situation like that? You know, if something goes down and you have to pull your weapon and you waiting on the police, how would you handle a situation like that?
Oh, I wouldn't stand there with my weapon out. I put my weapon away where they can't see it. Here they come running, you know. Now, I had walked up to the police officer and talked to him. He was asking me about my house, because I built my house in a unique style. When I got up to him, I said, you know, I'm a concealed carrier. He said, that's all right. I wish more people was. This was a black cop, though. But, no, you have to do the things, and you need to be taught. And also in communities. Communities need to have a police commission that put these policies in effect on how these people are supposed to react, these employees are supposed to react under certain circumstances. I mean, if you don't do that, then you stand a chance. And it ain't just blacks that don't do that. You got, I guess, every community don't do that. It's just a lackness, and it should be done.
Right. Now, with the situation in Chicago, real quick, just with the situation in Chicago with the security guard, now, I don't think there was anything that he could have done, because he had the suspect on the ground with his gun drawn. So I don't know if he could have really avoided that type of situation, because he needed to have his gun out to keep the dude on the ground. And I think he should have
handcuffed the guy while he was down.
That's why I say they told me, that's how I practice. I'm not pulling my gun unless I'm finna use it. So I ain't finna hold him at gunpoint. As soon as I drew my gun, he'd have been dead. I wouldn't have
had
a handcuff because he'd have been dead.
Well, you can't shoot nobody like that. You can't shoot the person running from you.
Don't pull your gun out unless you're going to use it.
You're absolutely right. But anyway,
but
I'm going to put myself on mute. You guys going to talk about the fire in California? If you do, I want to add to that. But I'm going to put myself on mute and finish eating so y'all don't hear me smacking.
Yes, sir. We appreciate the call. We appreciate it. Thank you, Carla. This is Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call, 929-477-1697. We have an open discussion. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Okay. I'll take area code 315-767. Caller, you on with Collective Minds? You have a question or a comment?
Hi there, Collective Minds.
Yeah.
Hey.
What's up, my man?
Thank you.
I want to keep talking about these guns.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you this before you go on. Are you licensed to carry?
Yes, I have purchased the privilege to, you know, enact my Second Amendment right, you know, as a citizen of the U.S. Something that we're supposed to be able to do freely, but we have to pay our government to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, if you're in a situation where you have to pull your gun and apprehend somebody, how do you play that situation? Like when the police, or you're waiting on the police to show up and you had to pull your weapon, how would you yourself handle a situation like that?
All right. So if I can't de-escalate the situation physically with my hands through grappling, then yes, I would have to pull my firearm. And if I have to pull my firearm, then that person has to be stopped. And you stop them with your firearm by putting bullets into them. So you pull your firearm to put bullets in people.
That's right.
In order to get them to stop whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're saying once you pulled it out, you intend on using it. It's going down.
Yes. If I couldn't grapple them, then I have to go ahead and put bullets in them. so that I can continue to try to grapple
them. Let's be clear, and let me just be clear and add something too. Just putting bullets in them people and listeners, that doesn't mean you have to kill them. You can shoot them in the leg or
No, I'm not shooting no leg.
Rigel.
No.
Rigel.
Yes.
Unless you've been to the training, you're not sure. So, no, when I pull my firearm to shoot somebody, I am not intending to kill the person. I am intending to stop them. But I'm not trying to aim at specific body parts. I aim center mass to make sure that my round goes into that person and not someone else or something else. Because I'm responsible for all things that my bullet does.
That's right. What about if you aiming at that little tiny leg and the bullet missed and you hit a kid in the background?
Exactly. So you shoot center mass. You shoot right at the center of the person.
Well,
you put some hot lead in
there,
and then maybe they'll start thinking about what they're doing. They'll start thinking about what they're doing and stop doing it.
Although I said it that way, realistically, I already know if I'm in that situation, I'm not going to be like aiming anyway. I'm just pull out and just shoot. So
during that situation, you already got a heightened heart rate. Your adrenaline is flowing. You can't aim like that anyway. So you need to train. It should be muscle memory. You pull out that weapon. You point at the mass of the person that's offending you, and you pull that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now
after
all that's done, we're talking about the police coming to the scene. Now, how do you handle that after you didn't shot the person? They don't know if you the suspect or you the hero. You know what I'm saying? How do you handle that?
If I've incapacitated the individual or the individual has left, then I can place my firearm in a position that's safely away from me, but not to where anybody else can use it to harm me.
Right. Good point.
Like
that's a good point.
Mr. Biaki said, generally you put it back. You put it back in your holster and you wait for law to arrive. You just don't need to have it in your hands. If you have it in your hand, it's going to be problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Once you've used it, if the person has not died and they're laying on the ground, you can go about trying to you still shouldn't get too close to them because you're armed and they're not. So they can still have the power to grab your firearm from you and shoot you with your own firearm. So you just wait.
Right. And I want to touch on that too because it's kind of like a fine line there when you're a civilian and when you're an officer handling this. Because I know we've had our run-ins and been upset about how the police handle situations. Like people say, why you didn't have to unload in them? You didn't have to unload in them. But that's how they are trained.
I'm trained.
Yeah, you keep shooting.
But I'm also trained
the threat
that
is
once
down.
Yeah, they do it till the threat is down. Where I was trained to fire at them till they stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and do a battlefield assessment. If there's any survivors of your onslaught, you render aid. So if I shot somebody and they're down, I wouldn't fear them. I would actually go and try to render first aid to them.
Right. But now this is what I like about
That's what I'm trained.
About what he said, Roger, when he said about he would try to grapple them first. That's another thing that I have issues with the police, because some of these situations where they're just so quick to go to the gun, I look at it like you could have tried to grapple them. You could have used your club. You could have used your
taser. Because they're trained for that.
You could have used
your
mate.
The average civilian is not trained for that.
They are trained to handle
it. So the average civilian goes gun first.
Yeah.
I've been trained.
That's my problem.
So I've been trained to grapple. So I wouldn't suggest that for everyone. I wouldn't suggest to grapple for everyone. That's my take for I would do, because I don't want to go through the hassle of shooting someone, because it is a hassle.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get arrested. I have my insurance card just in case, because yes, I will be arrested. My firearm will be detained, will be confiscated. I will have to get the lawyer on my insurance card to come.
Yeah.
To get me, bail me out. You know, I got the memberships, so. But that's not what I call to talk about the gun grab that's beginning. They began the gun grab starting in Maryland.
Explain
in Maryland.
What's this gun grab? What's going on? Break it down to us.
Yeah, break it down.
We heard about this.
The red flag law that's been put in effect October 1st in Maryland, it has claimed its first casualty on November 4th when Gary J. Willis was shot to death in his home because he did not want to turn over his firearms to the law because some person that he did not know.
I did hear about
that. Somebody said that he was a danger. Somebody said he was a danger. And according to Maryland law now, anybody that says that somebody else is a danger who may possess firearms, the police will come to your house and they will have an injunction from a judge in a hurry, an expedited injunction to come to your house and seize your firearms without any evidence, with no evidence. And this man came to his door with his firearm, which is I do the same thing. It's a natural thing. It's my house, and I have a right to carry a firearm in my house on my person. Well, he placed it down for the police to figure because he respected the law. He wanted to know why the police were at his house. They tell him, well, we've come to confiscate your firearms. We've come to take away your Second Amendment right without any evidence and without you knowing what you're accused of.
Wow.
And
he
said,
no. Is this the state?
This is a state law right now. Right now it's
state. Okay, this is state.
Right now it's just state law. Okay. And this man did not like that. So he was going to close his door, he went to pick up his firearm and close his door. The police pushed in his door and tried to grapple him, and his gun went off, so he ended up getting shot by them.
And
they killed him.
Now let me say this, because I'm with you, and I don't agree with that law, but here's the but. The but is, you know in your head, you're not going to win this fight. You're not.
Oh, I know.
So what he should have done, he should have went ahead and let them confiscate his gun, unfortunately, because now he's dead.
All right. So 114 people of that state as of November 6th have already done that. So there's been 114 law-abiding citizens who have lost the right to carry their firearms because someone else said something about them. It's a witch hunt.
Shameful.
It's a witch hunt.
It's shameful.
And
it's shameful.
So what they're doing, like I said, this is the gun grab. They are disarming America so that the government could put in place its enslavement and euthanization efforts.
Right.
Because if
we as
a population cannot stand up against a tyrannical government, then we are sheep. We're just, you know, and the police will be our sheepdogs for the masses.
Do you know how long it takes for them? Say they confiscate your gun now. How long? What's the process to get your gun back and, you know, get your right to have your gun again?
From the research I've seen, it's 6 weeks to 90 days. Then you should have filed all the paperwork and all the hearings should be completed so that you can be possess your firearms again. But the thing is, courts are held over all the time. I'm going through a divorce that should have been done 2 months ago. But every time I go in, something else happens and it gets delayed. Court gets delayed. So they could be up to a year having their firearms, not getting them back. And then if they get frustrated in the meantime, then that's more evidence to where they don't get their firearms back. They don't get the right back. This law can even be used by police when they pull somebody over that has a concealed carry license. They feel like you're agitated because you got pulled over, and you say one wrong word, now you're a threat, and they can confiscate your firearms. They have your address, and they'll come and take your firearms because you have showed that you are irrational by being a little bit upset over being pulled over.
As far as you know, so far this is just in Maryland, and it's called the red flag
in
law.
Maryland. Yes,
okay.
So far, yes, they have 114 people that have lost their firearms, and they're thinking at the current rate that the law is going, within the end of this first year, within these 3 months that it's been enacted, 1,342 people will have lost the right to bear firearms in their state. And Maryland's
one
of the big states.
Yeah, indeed.
Right
now I'm going to have to definitely look into that, you know what I'm saying?
That's a Democrat-run state. That's a Democrat-run state,
right.
And that's what the Democrats want to do to all of America. They want to disarm us so that we cannot stand up against a tyrannical government that's headed our way. He is the first casualty of an upcoming civil war, Gary J. Willis.
Right.
He is the first casualty of an upcoming civil war because of this nonsense to where people that write these laws, which are just opinions backed by force. It's their opinions backed by the force of the law, because the law gets to have all the guns. The civilians,
right,
we just need to fall in line and do whatever they say, because we don't matter. We don't have money. The people with
because
money
they
matter.
They have the power.
Because they have the money to pay the people with the guns to take the guns from the people who don't have the money to pay the people to keep their guns.
Right. Now, I would disagree with the caller. I don't think they're ever coming for the guns. I think that's a bunch of hype. I don't think that will ever happen.
It's happening.
May be, you know, statewide. I'm talking about as far as the federal government coming for guns. I don't think that'll ever happen.
Look at the map of who else is proposing this. Actually, there's already 12 other states that have these laws in effect, and Missouri has it on their docket that this is supposed to come into effect as soon as they can get it passed in their house. This law is coming to Missouri.
Yeah, now here's the thing, though. I can see that, but like I always do is keep things in the context of white supremacy. Most of the guns that will be taken will be from black people. So let's be clear on that. Now, remember,
Gary was
playing.
I don't know about that, brother.
City. Okay, you got militias and everything. You think these militias, these white militias, are going to give up their guns? No way.
Nope.
I don't care what they come with. They're
that's why
you
say that one guy did.
Do you understand, Kevin, that you are a member of the militia? Any able-bodied male between the ages of 15 and 45, according to the Constitution, is a militiaman. And every militiaman should have a weapon, should have a firearm equal to that of its government, according to the Constitution, so that we can stand up and rise up against a tyrannical government that wants to take away our inalienable rights, such as the right to bear arms.
And as a black man, the government has been tyrannical since I've been born towards black people, you see. It's always been.
But you are a militiaman, Kev. You are a militiaman.
That may be true, but like I say, the government
are you armed
has always
and ready?
Been tyrannical.
Are you armed and ready?
You see what I'm saying? Ready for
are
what?
Are you armed and ready, or are you going to go with the colonizers for the Civil War that's coming up? Because this is happening.
Oh, I definitely see things happening, and there's a war brewing, and you know, things are happening. I definitely
this is
see
not
that.
A white and a black thing. This is a poor people and rich people thing, and the government employees, the sheepdogs that are in the middle of them. This is the sheep, which is all the poor people, the elite, which are the masters, and the sheepdogs, which are the law enforcers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is
I
about.
Know. I disagree.
I have
so
to
either
roll
you're
with
a sheep, or you're the elite. Or you're being paid by the elite to do what the elite says, and now you're a sheepdog. But you're not an elite, you're a sheepdog.
Mm.
You get the scraps, you get to sleep outside still, but they're not going to hurt you. You know, they'll pet you on your head and say, good job, while you go out there and lead all the sheep for fleecing and meals, you know, because they're going
right.
you know,
well,
to get your
now,
ribs.
Look, now, all we got to do is look at history, though. If you look at the last Civil War in America, which was the bloodiest war, and more Americans died than any other war, that was not about elite and the poor or the sheep, as you say. That was a war between two white supremacist factions as to how we're going to move forward and maintain
correct.
Power and control over non-white people. That's
yes,
what that war
but
was
now
about.
They've decided that was decided.
Is about.
The upcoming war has been decided. They know what they want. They know what they want. It's not going to be against two ruling elite groups. It's going to be the elite putting the peasants in place, in their place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I'm definitely with you on that because the gap, you know, the middle.
But it started.
Middle,
but what I'm saying is it has started. Maryland was the starting ground. Maryland was the beginning of this. When they put that gun grab in place, taking away an American citizen's rights to bear arms without due process,
mm-hmm.
shooting
right.
him
and
on
like,
his doorstep without due process.
I need to look into that because how is you say someone just can claim that you're a threat or like
threat.
I'm trying to figure out what
yeah,
are
I
the
saw that, Brother K.
criteria.
I just forgot about it.
Yeah, I got to figure, you know, see what exactly the criteria, like, does he have any prior felony convictions? Has he done something or someone, anybody off the street?
No, it don't have to be, from what I saw, it don't have to be none of that. They just can
but
say,
but
nope.
think about what you're saying, though. Anybody off the street could just be like,
yes,
Joe Blow, my neighbor Joe Blow is a threat. Go
Correct.
Take his gun, and they go take his gun.
Correct. They're
yeah.
looking for any excuse to disarm Americans.
Okay. Like I said, I would have to look into it. I'm not disputing it one way or the other. But as
have
far
you
as
while y'all,
the,
while y'all talking about it, I'm gonna try to pull it up real quick.
Okay.
Have
yeah,
you seen the new bill?
Do, but I don't think federal would do,
have you,
would do anything like
have
that.
Have you seen the new House Bill 7512?
No. Put me on.
So a New Jersey congressman drafted up a bill that's going to make any firearm part that works for a semi-automatic weapon illegal to purchase or sell or display on the internet. So if my M4 has a trigger spring that breaks, it will be illegal for me to purchase a new spring for that because it's a part.
Oh.
They're trying to make to where if you create a firearm at your house, then you have to go and pay to get a serial number put on it, a hefty cost to go put a serial number on it.
Okay,
any weapon that has a barrel that protects your hand from being burned will be illegal for a civilian to own.
Hey, I'm going to read this
all,
red flag
all,
law to you real quick. This says
okay.
Red flag laws are extreme risk protection orders, or civil orders that allow judges to temporarily suspend a person's gun right, even if they haven't committed a crime, when they exhibit violent behavior that suggests they pose a risk to themselves or others.
When they exhibit violent behavior.
But
okay.
But
yeah.
Anybody can say you
did they define
that you did it.
Yes. Did they define violent behavior? Because according to a lot of people, just calling them a bad name is violent. That's violence upon them. Having
right.
a difference of opinion with them
somebody. Yep.
Is violence
right.
upon them.
Right. Now look, and that this goes to the point I made earlier is they're going to come for black males' guns first. You see, this is to my point. So exactly what
Uh-oh.
You just read would support
Uh-oh.
My point. They're going to come after black males
Brother
first. And they, of course, yeah, they may get some white people. I mean, speak
that,
it.
Well, you can't say first. You can't say first because the first person it happened to was a white man. That's the guy
okay,
he's talking about.
Then,
actually, it was a white
right.
person.
And then we'll, okay, and then we'll do the numbers. When it's all said and done, we'll do the numbers, and then you tell me. And if I stand corrected, I'll be the first to come back on the show and stand corrected. But we'll do the numbers and see, you know, white to black, who is this particular law affecting? You see what I'm
it's
saying?
Whoever's
but
getting told on.
Now let's.
It's whoever's getting told
on
is who they can grab guns from, is who they're going to grab the guns from. Whoever they have an opportunity
right,
to get the guns from, they're going to go get them.
Let's keep in mind, because I specifically remember in 1994 there were a lot of right-wing people saying that they were coming for the guns. So this has always been a common theme among conservatives,
mm-hmm.
quote-unquote, and right-wing people that they're coming for the guns. In 1994,
in November.
Bill Clinton signed the assault weapons ban. Remember, that was a ban on assault weapons for 10 years until
there
George
was.
Bush in 2004 revoked that bill.
It wasn't a bill. It was an executive order. It was an executive order.
Or whatever you want to call it. Executive order. There was a ban. It was a protection act. It was an act. There was
mm-hmm.
a ban on assault weapons from 94 to 2004. And we were
right.
hearing the same things that they were coming for the guns. So, again, I think federally that's not going to happen. Anything that the state would enact as far as trying to take people's guns who are considered violent or, you know, have behavior problems, yeah, they're coming after black people first.
But
so that's
now, imagine when these people take these guns and they have to go through this court system, this fraudulent court system, to get their firearms back. how expensive do you think that's going to be? It's going to be a paywall for them to get their guns back. They're not going to be able to afford to defend themselves to get their firearms back.
Yeah, a majority of people are probably just going to walk away and say, forget it.
Yeah, and they're just armed Americans. They got
this,
the teeth pulled.
Because I wanted to ask y'all this real quick, too, especially while we got the caller on the line here. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. Was that First Step Act that bipartisan bill, H.R. 5682, I want to say it is, to the caller, have you had the opportunity to look at that bill yet? And if you have, what are your thoughts on it? And how do you compare its effect towards white or black people? You think it's going to be a different effect, or is it going to be the same broad sweep of affecting all walks of people?
I'll be honest, I have not looked at that bill. I've been busy reading and dealing with the new House bill that's going to try to infringe upon my right to bear arms.
Okay. Brother Kevin, you still hadn't checked it out neither?
Not fully. I'm going to be honest. I saw the people who kind of, I believe the people in Congress who went against the bill. But no, I haven't, I can't really make an educated statement about it.
I have one more comment, and it goes out to Cosmos Kev.
Cosmic Kev.
Cosmic Kev. There we go. So
he's
I would say the audacity of you thinking, the human ego is so grossly over just exaggerated to think that anything in this universe revolves or is based on anything that has to do with humanity, because humanity isn't even the thickness of a hair in the in the expanse of the age of this universe. And to think that we have any sway over how this universe works with our mental state or our thought or this or another, that was like the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Exactly.
Because
how
did the universe work before humanity?
I'm going to tell
you this. If all of a sudden humans come in here and our mind thought can make something happen in this vast space of nothingness, that our tiny, tiny, tiny little speck of existence, our dust mode of existence, exists in.
Exactly.
All right,
let me put
my seatbelt on. Let me put my seatbelt on.
Yeah,
hold on.
Let me respond. Let me respond real quick.
I'm going to help you out.
In.
Go, Cosmic Kev. I'm buckled in, bro.
I'm going to help you out. Because if you.
It is what it is.
Ancient texts, from the Rig Veda to the. Read about the suras and asuras in India, like any Eastern philosophy, they explain that there's a supreme mind that created the universe. So there was never a time when man was not on the earth, because the only thing that holds this thing together is consciousness. That's it. It's because we're aware and able to observe and see everything that holds everything together. So the mind is all, and the universe is mental. You see,
that
these
goes
are
back
hermetic
to the ego
laws.
Of humanity.
And I would also implore you to study mythology, Greek mythology.
Stuff is written by people who don't know the answers as to why humanity even exists. This universe is so expanse and so old that you cannot fathom it with your mind how old this universe we live in is, and how to think that something that has been like around for you can't even make a percentage of how long we've been around since this universe has, because it's so minute, to think that we have some sway over how the universe works. It's none.
We do.
There's none.
Because when humanity ends up dying, just like the dinosaurs died,
the universe will still continue. How is that possible if there's no humanity?
No, it would not. If there were no humans on the planet, there wouldn't be a universe.
there would
you
be
don't
a universe.
Understand there's one mind that
so you have a
everything.
You have a personal you have a personal universe. Each individual
Bro.
Has a personal universe, and each individual when they pass
Correct.
That universe dies because that is the human ego. But the universe itself continues. It has continued before, and it continues into the future. And each individual human that creates a universe within their own mind, when they die,
right.
yes, their universe has ended. So when you die,
okay.
Kev, yes, the universe will end for you. When I die, the universe will end
again.
For me.
If there were
but the
no
universe will continue
planet,
as a universe.
If there were no humans on this planet, there would be no universe because there would be no one here to observe it.
It doesn't matter if it's observed or not. It still exists.
It does matter. It matters a lot because the consciousness of you observing is what holds the thing together. This is quantum.
No, it doesn't.
Quantum
physics it holds it together for the individual. It holds
quantum
it together for the individual and for the collective of humanity. But
listen,
it still exists.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to impart this to you. And you probably heard about this. There's an experiment called the two-slit experiment. There's also an experiment called Schrodinger's cat experiment. The two-slit experiment is where you shoot light and photons through a slit. And sometimes when they're observed, they go through as particles. Or if they're not observed, they go through as waves. Meaning, only when something is observed does it form and make shape. This is quantum theory.
All right.
Now, you can look this up online. It's called the
two-slit
experiment.
I have a simple exercise
so
for you.
So when you observe something, that puts it in a particle form, and that makes it support mass. If no one observes it, then the light is just the wave. Now, with the Schrodinger's cat, they put a cat. There's an experiment where you put a cat into – he walks into a box that's enclosed. There's a lever inside the box. There's a 50-50 chance that the cat, when he goes in there, there's a 50-50 chance that he'll hit the lever and die, or he won't hit the lever and live. So with that being said, when the cat goes in the box, until you lift that box, the cat is both dead and alive because you haven't lifted the box to observe what even happened. So what they're telling us is the mind is all, and in order when you observe something, that makes it real. You see, if you don't observe it, then it's just waves. And this, again, this is supported by quantum physics. You can look at Stephen Hawking's book, A Brief History of Time. Like all these things coincide. And
yeah, I'm into quantum physics. I really enjoy reading about that stuff. But again, I have a simple experiment for you to do, and then I can get off the phone here. I have a simple experiment for you to do. I want you. You're sitting at a desk, right?
Correct.
All right. So you see the desk in front of you, correct?
Yes.
You see it right there, right?
I'm observing the desk.
All right. Close your eyes and put your hands behind your back. Can you see that desk?
If my eyes are closed, no.
You can't see the desk? And your hands are behind your back, right? Therefore,
Correct.
You can't feel the desk. So therefore, there's no desk there, right? Now go ahead and slam your head forward as fast as you can. And tell me if that desk is there or not, because you can see it or you can't see it. Because it's not observed.
No, that's not. That's different because you're talking about a blind person can still feel the death.
Oh, you see,
a blind person can still feel the death. But this is what I'm gonna do because I don't want to spend too much time on it. I got one more thing I wanted to bring up.
I'm gonna
do a presentation on Gnosticism coming up. And that will kind of break down this conversation. And these are some of the ancient texts that they've left. And, you know, we were able to dig
thank
up
you,
that
caller.
Coincides with what we were just talking about. So thank you, caller. Appreciate that. Now, look, Collective Minds Radio, we're down to the last
15 minutes, I wanted to bring up a topic that's been made international news. They're still trying to figure out how they go handle this situation, and that is the situation in North Sentinel Island. This is an island that they say Africans from 30,000 to 60,000 years ago went to this island, and it's one of the last uncolonized places on Earth that has not had any contact with, you know, civilization or anything. They're just doing their own thing on their island. So this missionary guy named John Chow went to this island, and he ended up being killed because they don't like outsiders coming to that island. And just let me read this real quick, and then I'll get y'all response. It says, North Sentinel Island is home to one of the last undiluted hunter and gatherer societies, a rugged Manhattan-sized island where a few dozen people live trapped in time and in total isolation. For decades, India has kept North Sentinel in a museum case. Mr. Chow's death has shattered the glass. Efforts to retrieve Mr. Chow's body is the first step in most murder investigations. This has proven difficult, and some anthropologists say it will be impossible. The search symbolizes the larger quandary India confronts in trying to enforce a society's rules in a place that has been intentionally set away from the rest of society. So, yeah, he was going there supposedly as a missionary to convert these people and tell them about Jesus. And when he got off the boat, they lit him up. You know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate, but I feel like, hey,
shot him with spears or something like that.
Yeah, they shot him with spears, poisonous spears, and lit him up. And he hired some guys from India to take him on a boat real close, and then he took, like, his own little raft boat to try to go. He said he had a Bible, a football, and something else, you know what I'm saying, to try to convert these people. And my thing is the audacity of him to try to impose his religion on these folks. Let them people live. You see what I'm saying? Those people are not colonized. They don't have to deal with police brutality. They don't have to deal with money, iPhones, none of these things that we all think is so heavy. But my thing is I would rather, like, if I didn't know any better and I could pick to live with them or be here, I would go with them. I would give up iPhone, sports, money, all that stuff, because the only thing I would know is living within that particular tribe. And people think primitive means stupid. You know what I'm saying? Because these white supremacist terms are primitive and they're uncivilized. No, these people are not stupid. They don't have to deal with jails. They don't have to deal with police. They don't have to deal with oppression, subjugation. You see what I'm saying? These people are doing their own thing. So the audacity of this guy to think it's his right or will to impose, tell them about Jesus. They don't want to hear that. Leave them people alone. Let them do their own thing, which is the problem with the world now. These colonizers came, quote unquote, in the name of Christianity to civilize these uncivilized people, as they would say. And look where we are. All they did was build jails and keep indigenous people down, working for them so they could live high on the horse where everybody else working to keep them afloat. And they put them in jails. No. So my question for y'all is, would you, and this is hypothetical, would you give up your iPhone, sports, fast food, money, Jordans, True Religions, polo, to be free from colonization, subjugation, and oppression? Would y'all give up those things to be free of those things?
Let me say something. I'll be really quick.
Keep it real.
Because the thing
keep
is, you had a nice list, but you left out some important things like houses, warmth. You know.
No, they on the island. They got warmth. They got houses. They have places
they have
to live.
Okay, well, I'm thinking you just saying they just out living primitive like they, you know, like
no,
if you
no,
go
no,
camping.
No. This
and
is what, no, this is what they saying. But even if they was, they've been able to survive this long. They live in a tropical
climate.
Right,
no, people can definitely survive living that lifestyle. I'm saying, but for a person like me who's unfamiliar with that, it would be hard to do.
Right,
however,
right.
I do think,
so the question,
I will say this
the
really
question
fast.
Is, go ahead. No, I was going to say the question is if you didn't know anything different.
Oh.
So you would be,
well,
you would be going up there like, Dad, I wish I had a house. I wish I could go upstairs. You wouldn't.
Right,
you
well, yeah. If,
society,
if I didn't know anything different,
would,
then if I didn't know. Yeah, that's easy. If that's easy for everybody. If you didn't know, then
I don't think
no,
so.
Fine.
I think most people see. I think most. I know.
I'll tell you. I can tell you right now.
I know Mufasa would. He would still come back here.
If I didn't know, like right now, where I'm at here now, okay?
Right, you know.
I know how it is. I know what's popping here, and I can only assume or imagine what's going on that island. And as
do
I compare,
do you think they utilize electricity?
No.
No, they don't.
So,
right.
As
well,
for what
I
know now, I'm not going because I'm not missing football. I'm not missing Monday night football.
See? So you would say, so oppression is cool, subjugation is cool because of football. See, this is where we're at.
I'm not going
this
over
is
there.
Where we're at. This
and then,
is where we
and
at.
Then at my age now, I got to get out there. I mean, I don't know nothing about that life. I got to get out there.
No, you missed
and
it.
And get
no.
the hunting.
Not at your age now. No, not at your age now. I'm talking about if you didn't know anything else. You had the choice to first see. You would be like, okay, if I lived in this, because it's not like they over there like, oh, I'm missing football. I'm, you know, no. If you was born in that society, it would just
so
be
let me
what
get
it
this
is.
Straight. Let me make sure I get this straight. So you kind of saying like, I like this hypothetical. I'm not out the womb yet. I'm just can envision life A, life
yes,
B.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm getting ready to come out the womb, and I need to pick life A or life B. Right.
There you go. Most people still would pick this life, but me.
Now I would say on that
aware,
note,
no.
On that note, I would pick life A. I would pick to go onto the island. On that note, yeah, I would.
Like, you wouldn't be missing none. Those people are free. They have those people are free. You don't have subjugation. You're not being held down. You're not being told you're inferior. You don't have to worry about people that look like you trying to kill you. You don't have to worry about supremacy. Those people are free, even though you got iPads and iPhones and toilets and all this other stuff. But I don't think that's not – no, that doesn't –
Now, here goes the other thing. Like,
no,
one, I got a message sent to me from a listener that said that, you know, the reason they killed him was because they were defending themselves from disease as if it happened to them once already. Because that's not the first time they've been in contact with people.
Oh, yeah.
So they,
Yeah,
they don't want them problems. They like, look.
Right, because there was another guy that came and he was trying to be their friend because there's a group of islands over there. And pretty much the other islands, they didn't wipe the people, the indigenous people off and it made them tourist places. And so word kind of got back, and actually a guy had went to their island, and then he ended up killing a few people and doing things or whatever, doing some foul stuff like colonizers do. And they got word of it, and they like, no, anybody else that comes over here is like that, and you getting lit up on sight. You know what I'm saying? So there's a few documentaries. There's very rare footage that you can look at and see of these islands. I'm talking about they jet black. They haven't been in, you know, no other races and no other people have even, like, these are, like, primitive people.
But
heavenly,
you know what?
Melanated. Heavenly melanated.
Man, you opening up a can here, Brother Kev, because, I mean, just for the sake of argument, you know, I got to be totally transparent here.
I mean, I'm right. still looking at the life. That means I got to, you know, I got to be like naked with spiders and bugs and stuff. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know.
No, it ain't, it
I don't
mean,
know
it,
if I
it,
want flies flying on me. And,
now see,
you know,
now see what you're doing.
I could just be stepping in the water and something bite me.
What you're doing, brother.
No, that's real.
Bro,
those are
doing,
facts.
No, those are not facts. Those are not facts. You thinking about those old white supremacist commercials they used to show with people in Africa with the big heads and flies all on them.
No.
This is not that, bro. That's what you're thinking about. This is not
so
that.
So when you visit this
These
place,
people,
you think they just laying in hammocks and eating
no,
berries all day?
No, I think they maintaining their society as best they know how. And doing what they got to do to live that day.
Gotta,
that's what I think they're doing.
And they got to be having a hard life because I read where, you know, the island isn't flourishing. The population of those people are down quite a bit. You know, they like it.
Well, they don't know how many people on the island because they ain't been there. They don't know how many people on the island. So they
well,
don't know.
Now, I looked at a video of and how authentic it is, I'm not 100% sure, but I've seen a video where some colonizers did actually go there and take some footage, and it's supposed to be illegal, but they took some footage
right.
with these people. I'm going to share that with you so you can tell me what you think.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. There's a documentary on it. There's a documentary on them, so, but they still don't know how many people are on that island.
So would you go there? You say, hands down, you taking the island.
Oh, hands down. I mean, I wouldn't, of course, now, being in this position, I wouldn't go now. But I'm saying if I had the choice to choose, I'm going there.
Right.
Yeah. That's easy for me. Like, but I see that people who would be like, nah, I'd rather be over here. No. I'm cool on all that. I'm cool with all the amenities that I have. You know, just give me
right.
full autonomy. No, I'm out of here.
Right, you got something else to say on this? I mean,
because a point I want to bring out is that we've cleared that they don't allow outsiders into the island. So we really don't know what their practice is. We really don't know how they actually live. We really don't know
we got 2 minutes,
things
y'all.
About them.
Right.
We got 2 minutes.
But we know ain't nobody, we know ain't no other colonizers on there. We know ain't no colonizers on there.
No, I'll just let you know.
Right, yeah. I'm just,
that's what we do know.
Right, but I'm saying we don't know the type of people they really are, though, and how they actually live. I'm saying that could be a good thing and a bad thing. It'd be great things that they do that we don't know, and it can be horrible things that they do that we don't know. Like, they might have some type of special thing over there that they, because I do agree that doesn't mean that they're not intuitive people and intelligent, so they could have discovered a lot of things that we don't even have over here, or they, like I said, can be horrible things that they do that we like, oh no, so it's really hard to say.
Let's do a show on this, y'all, what y'all think.
It's hard to say. You know, what if they kill all the first babies or something. You know, I'm just saying something crazy. They may, you know, you can do some they may not tolerate. You just never know how they actually live, though, you know, as far as
behavior.
With that being said, we need to sign out,
y'all.
They might bite the kids' ears off or something.
But it can't be no worse than what's going on in our society we live in now.
Yeah. Right.
In this society.
Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah, collect your minds. We're down to the last minute.
Tune in next week.
3, 2, 1. Collective Minds.
Stand on your square, we on the turn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's on or a new point.
with your group, one compared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to my mother, but the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things here. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like